We gather here to discuss some very important topics. I know you all are deep thinkers, and you take your life very seriously. Yes? If you do take your life very seriously, then you have to decide, do you have the willpower and do you have the strength to pursue your goals? You see, it's one thing to have a goal, and it's another thing to have the willpower and determination to achieve your goal. You'll find that many people today, they're dreamers. They dream of material success. Sometimes they come to Krishna consciousness and they dream of spiritual success. But whether you're leading a material life or leading a spiritual life, work is required. This is the basic point raised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, everyone has to act. Everyone has to do something. It's not possible to sit still. Have any of you here tried sitting still and doing nothing? It can't happen. Unless you take so much intoxication that you become like a stone. Anyone tried that? Don't answer. As long as you are alive, you're going to be active. So now you have to think, what is the best way I can be active? Since I must act, it's your job to think of this, to figure it out. Just like today I was talking to some young ladies from the Technicon in Pretoria, and they were telling me what it's like when you first go there at the Technicon. Your first year, your senses just go wild because you're away from home, you're out from under your parents' eye, and there you are, living at a school with boys and girls, having their rooms. So, the peer pressure is so great, and your senses are just boiling. Your mind is like a forest fire. So, you do so many things, because you have to do something. You have to be active. Later, you have so many regrets. Oh, this was not satisfying me. Whether it's acting in that way or acting in another way, everyone has to act. So the intelligent human being thinks, what is the best way for me to act? How can I act in such a way that will give me lasting benefit? Now, most people do not even know what lasting benefit is. Most people think, if I'm happy for 2 seconds, I'll be so satisfied. Remember when you used to think like that? Just give me 2 minutes of happiness, that's all I want. Sometimes older persons, it's like we were talking about the younger persons, sometimes the older persons, maybe you heard them reminiscing in their old age. They sitting in their chair and they, do you remember 20 years ago when we had that very nice weekend? Do you remember that time 30 years ago? That day in the summer, remember 30 years ago? We were so happy. What was that day 30 years ago? Do you remember that day in the summer 30 years ago? Yes, this is how miserly people are when it comes to life. The Sanskrit word is kripana. You have great value, but you don't use it. So we have to see how much our lifestyle is one of a kripana. The human body gives you extraordinary wealth. That wealth is the ability, the intelligence, the higher consciousness for going back to Godhead, back to Krishna. But we specialize in wasting our assets. Now, so many of the adults would recognize that, just what these young ladies were telling me about the lifestyle the first year at the Technicon. The adults would say, oh, wasting your time. But how are the adults doing anything that's so much better? You see, life is a question of how you're going to be absorbed. Either you become absorbed in something one way, or you become absorbed another way. So these students from the Technicon, they were telling me how they tried to become absorbed. Everyone likes to be absorbed in something. You don't like to have an empty life. You want an absorbing experience. This is what the teenagers want, and this is also what the adults want too. When you become an adult, then you think, alright, I'm tired of playing around and so many random parties. I'm tired of looking for my absorption in that way. Now I will have a family and I'll be absorbed like that. Yes, families are very absorbing, everyone knows. Takes a lot of work. You feel that you have a mission, you have obligations, constantly negotiating and renegotiating, right? Constantly debating and dialoguing, adjusting, readjusting. Yes, it's absorbing, yes. Everyone knows in family life is very absorbing. You think you work out an agreement yesterday, but then the next day you have to renegotiate the whole thing. I thought we understood this. No. But that was last week we reached an understanding. This week it's different. So you have to discuss everything over again. It's absorbing. Everyone is looking for this absorption. At work, it's absorbing. In many countries of the world, people actually rather stay at work than go home. Because at home, there's so many problems. It's becoming like that now in the USA. People are going to the job at 7 in the morning, coming back late at night because they don't want to face the problems at home. At work, there's a whole other universe. You get to associate with so many members of the opposite sex. You have your whole culture at work. And then when you come home, there are the same problems. So many people would rather be absorbed at work. But the point is, everyone wants to be absorbed in something. That is the quest of your life. I want an absorbing experience. Just like I was talking to these young ladies from the Technicon. And I said, okay, you're 21, 22 now. I'm sure that you're hoping in the future that there'll be the right person for you who will understand your emotions completely. Yes, it is so. Yes. You can only try to be absorbed in casual affairs for so long before you start longing to be absorbed with one person. So my point is, the fact remains, you want absorption. Whether you do it in parties, casual relationships, or a stable family, you want to be absorbed in something. Then your life feels complete. Everyone can accept that? Just look at your life and see how your life is a quest for absorption. People, they're happiest when they're absorbed. Maybe those of you who are working, you can remember a few moments, at least when you liked your job. A few moments, right? There was something interesting to do. Like my driver, Radha Priya. Maybe sometimes at work there was some interesting accounting situation. Yes, and absorbed your mind, right? You felt relief. You could show your abilities. There's an interesting problem. Quickly you would lose interest, but at least for a while it was absorbing. Everyone is looking for that opportunity. Men like sports. Why? It absorbs their mind. Ladies like talking with each other, right? Because it absorbs their mind. Is that so? And the ladies wonder how it is the men can watch sports all day long. So watching cricket all day long. How can that be possible? And what do the men wonder? How can the ladies talk to each other all day long? None of it's important. The ladies are thinking, how can the men watch cricket, rugby all day long? None of it's important. The point is, everyone wants to be absorbed. When you understand this secret in life, you'll save yourself a lot of problems. When you understand that with your head and with your heart, you're looking for absorption, an absorbing experience, then you understand the key to escaping material existence and entering spiritual existence. Just think about your aspirations. Just examine your longings. It's all for absorption. When you're a teenager, you long for that absorbing party. You long for that absorbing romance. Right? Someone who will just come along and sweep you off your feet. That means you're totally absorbed. They make you forget whether it's day or night. Isn't that the ideal standard of romance? When I'm around you, I don't know if it's day or night. That means absorption. Similarly, the adults, they want their absorbing experiences. They want to live life through their children. They're very attached to their children's success because it helps the adults to be absorbed. Yes? How many of you live part of your life for your children? Raise your hand. It's natural. It gives you a feeling of having a purpose in life. So once you understand this quest for absorption, then you can get your hands on the power of your life. You see, often we don't know how to get in touch with all the energies of our life. We just don't think about it. And we're not associating with people who think about these things. What are the raw ingredients of your life? The things that, when they combine, just a big explosion happens. That is your quest for absorption. If you're going to seriously understand Krishna consciousness, you must see Krishna consciousness in terms of absorption. Then look and compare. Do comparison shopping. Look at the prospects for absorption in material life and look at the prospects for absorption in spiritual life. And the results also. You can be absorbed in material life. The teenagers remember their parties and their wild affairs. It was appealing because it looked absorbing. You could put your mind into something. But the result was misery. The adults, they have their family affairs, their work, the things they're trying to achieve in this world. They're also looking for absorption. Something to do with their life's energies. Krishna consciousness also involves absorption. Instead of being absorbed in the illusion of material life, the Krishna conscious person is absorbed in how to give Krishna pleasure. That is what it means to be properly religious. You're thinking how to give the Supreme Godhead pleasure. Now, some of you may ask, why do we have to think about giving Krishna pleasure? Doesn't Krishna have it all already? What about us? Why does Krishna have to be thought of? Why does Krishna's pleasure have to be thought of? We should think of ourselves, and if Krishna is a caring God, he should just automatically give us pleasure, whether we think of him or not, because he has enough to give away. Okay? What are the facts of Bhakti Yoga? The facts of Sanatana Dharma, Bhakti Yoga, are that our natural propensity, our natural tendency is to think of Krishna's pleasure. That's the way it is. Just like if you put pieces of iron near a magnet, they'll be attracted. Similarly, if you put the living entity in his right consciousness near Krishna, he'll be attracted. That's just the way things work. Now, material life means we are artificially unattracted to Krishna. Our lack of Krishna consciousness is an artificial state. In our natural, healthy condition, we're always thinking about Krishna. You've had the experience of thinking about something a lot. One devotee from Pretoria was telling me he came from a very close family and they always did things together. So he was always thinking about his family. Similarly, when romance is going nicely, people appreciate it because they say, I know that other person's always thinking of me and I'm always thinking of that person. Remember when it was like that? For a short time, it was very fascinating that someone's always thinking of you. Yes. And you're always thinking of someone. It gives you kind of a unique feeling. This shows you we have the ability to always think of Krishna. When Lord Krishna becomes so dear to you because of his attractiveness, you'll always think of him. When you love someone, you'll always think of it. Now, in the material world, the so-called love always ends. Maybe some of you had that experience. You fell in love and you thought, oh, this will be forever. It'll go on and on. And then it came to an end. That shows you that although in the material world the so-called love is an illusion, it shows you real love does exist somewhere. Just like counterfeit money shows that there is real money somewhere, but you don't have it. Similarly, love in the material world demonstrates to you that there is real love somewhere, but you don't have it. Now, if we analyze this quest for absorption properly, we'll see that only Krishna can satisfy this quest for absorption. Because Krishna has unlimited ability to reciprocate your love. Have you ever met anyone who has unlimited ability to reciprocate your feelings? You wish they did, but there's always a limit. Just when you want to talk to the other person's tired. Just when you want to go somewhere that you thought was very nice, the other person doesn't want to go. Finally you realize, since there's not going to be any spontaneous love anymore, we have to compromise. Right? Relationships reach that point as you become older. Okay, I'll do what you want some of the time if you do what I want some of the time. Right? It's a compromise. Everyone knows that. As family life progresses, husband and wife have to compromise. Children and parents have to compromise, especially when the children become teenagers. That compromise means you don't have enough to fulfill me. I don't have enough to fulfill you. So let's just make some deal how some other things can go on anyway. With Krishna, you don't have to do that. Because Lord Krishna is the source of all energies. Therefore, Krishna has the unlimited resources to satisfy your loving desires. There's nothing wrong with love, but you have to know what is the proper object of your love. Our suffering in life comes from misplacing, misdirecting our loving propensity. See, Krishna consciousness is very practical. Bhakti yoga is the love religion, without a doubt. And the desire to love and be loved is the most powerful propensity of the human being. Please recognize that. You want to love and be loved. That includes appreciation, communication, sensitivity. All these things are included in the loving propensity. You want to love, you want to be loved. The most powerful drive. Even more powerful than the drive to eat or drink is this urge, I should love and be loved. You can see traces of it even in the animal kingdom. I saw once a nature movie about tigers, and there you can see in a primitive form the loving propensity. When the certain time of the year came around in which the female tiger wanted to have social life, she would emanate a certain fragrance that would go for kilometers in all directions. And then the male tigers, they would get this fragrance, and they would know that time is here. And so the male tigers, they would approach the female tiger after traveling 1-2 kilometers. And as they approached, what would the female tiger do? Welcome him? No. She would play hard to get. She would growl. And get out of here. Who called you? And she was, yeah, with her paw. And so the male tiger goes away. Again, he comes back, knocking on her door. Again, the same thing. 6-7 times this happened. You know, the male tiger, he doesn't give up. He wants absorption. Actually, the female tiger, she also wants this absorption. But, you know, it has to be the pride. So she drives him away 6-7 times. Finally, maybe the 7th or 8th time, the male tiger comes back. And then all of a sudden, she's very nice, making purring sounds in her throat. So then, they produce a baby tiger. And what happens as soon as the baby tiger is born? Like a true man, the male tiger leaves. Just children, it's not my business. That's your thing. You wanted the child, you take care of it. Many men are like that today, unfortunately. So the male tiger leaves, and the lady tiger raises the children, teaches them how to kill and eat like that. And she guards her children very carefully. So even in tiger society, you can see this loving propensity. After driving away the male tiger so many times, suddenly the female tiger is very lovey-dovey, making love sounds in her throat instead of growling, purring in her throat. So there's nothing special about human beings and their loving propensity, except that human beings have a choice how to elevate the loving propensity to the highest possible level. That is the art and culture of Krishna consciousness, the perfection of love. But first you have to be honest and recognize you have a loving propensity. Many of our own devotees don't think about this. They just do things mechanically, their material life mechanically, their spiritual life mechanically. They don't understand that ticking underneath everything is their urge to love and be loved. If you properly follow bhakti yoga, you'll get to the root. You'll get to this root. The loving propensity. And then, if you understand Krishna consciousness properly, you'll know. Only Krishna can satisfy my loving urge. That is real religion. Not simply belief in God. That's very boring, as I was saying earlier today. Simply a religious belief. Simply having that means a boring life. Can you imagine talking with someone about religious belief? What do you believe? Well, I believe this. Oh, really? Well, I believe that. But Krishna consciousness means how the Lord is fulfilling your loving propensities. That is an exciting subject matter. Just like I was talking to these young ladies from Pretoria. And basically, they were admitting, yes, we have this urge to love and be loved. After so many wild parties during our Technicon years, now we look forward to a steady love, a lasting love. That's natural for everyone. Even the men. Men, after playing around and a bit of recreation, they want to settle down with someone so they can have a steady love. Men require appreciation. Any woman who understands this knows the secret of controlling a man. Men want appreciation, but they'll never tell you that. If a lady is going to be successful in her family, she has to understand a very confidential secret. In their hearts, men are big babies. They need constant appreciation. They need to be pampered 24 hours a day. And then they're ready to go out and fight the world, right? How many men will admit this is true? Raise your hand. Yes, it's one. One honest man. Two honest men. But then three. Yes, yes. But they'll never admit it. So the lady has to be clever enough to understand this. The lady has to understand she's got her children and she's also got a big baby. That's a successful family. My point is that everyone has this loving propensity. They want this luxury of being loved. Men like to feel that I'm so complicated, I'm so intricate, only my lady understands me. Isn't that so? Yeah. They like to boast to their friends, yes, yes. I have to admit I'm a complicated person. Only she understands me. They want to feel understood by someone, that someone cares for them. Everyone is like that. The problem is that an ordinary human being doesn't have the capacity to give all that love that you require. As soon as you understand this, you'll be peaceful. Up until this point, you will be frustrated. Those who are older, you know this, and you've known what you've had to do to survive. As you get older, you compromise. Okay, you can't give me everything I want. I can't give you everything you want, but let's just coexist and compromise and keep on going. But when you're young, like these ladies I was talking to, they're in their early 20s. When you're young, you have the dream. I will meet someone. That person will be the reservoir of pleasure for me. That person will be the unlimited source of loving emotions for me. I was telling these young ladies, forget it. They said, really? I said, I know. You're hoping there's going to be a man who just wants to listen to you talk all day. Yes, it will. Forget it. I said, whoever told you that men like to listen to ladies talk? Any man here? No way. Men like it, the ladies are just quiet. Come around when I need you, otherwise, don't. And whatever you do, don't talk. You won't say anything because your wives are here. But that's a fact. And the ladies are thinking, he's going to talk to me all day. I can talk to him all day. We're just going to talk and talk and talk. I'm going to talk about my feelings. He's going to talk about his feelings. Forget it. So what's really going on underneath is that each person wants love from the other. The man doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to hear talk. He just wants appreciation. Oh, you are the greatest. You are so strong. You are so understanding, even though you never talk to me. You are so sensitive, even though you never listen to me. You are this. That's what a man wants. So, really what's going on underneath is that each one just wants love. And they expect that the other person is supposed to be an unlimited fountain of love. Impossible. That's Krishna's job. So you can't turn the other person into Krishna and imagine you're going to give me unlimited supplies of what I need. You're going to reciprocate with me perfectly no matter what mood I'm in. That's the job of God. But we're so foolish. We think God simply creates. God simply maintains the universe. God simply destroys the universe. We never understand how God, Krishna, gives us the unlimited loving reciprocation we so desperately require. Separate from Krishna, we're cut off from this source of eternal unlimited love. So our whole material life is a futile attempt, a false attempt to get from some tiny person what we should be getting from Krishna. Once you understand this, you'll finally be peaceful. This is the peace formula. How many years does it take for us to learn this? So many pages of history have been written unnecessarily as human society struggles to satisfy this loving urge. Now, you may say, okay, if it's a fact that no living entity, no ordinary human being can perfectly satisfy my love, then are there relationships in Krishna consciousness between human beings? Well, of course. When one human being helps another human being to be Krishna conscious, then both of them become eligible to receive the love of Krishna. And in the light of the love coming from Krishna, they appreciate each other. If someone is helping your life to be Krishna conscious, naturally you're going to care for that person, and vice versa. When Krishna is in the center, then it's possible to have productive human relationships. You see, when Krishna's in the center, you're getting your strength from Krishna. You're not thinking the other person has to give me all that I need. No, you're thinking the other person has to help me get from Krishna all that I need. That's the difference. So the Krishna consciousness movement is certainly not against family life. No. The Krishna consciousness movement is advocating real family life. Family life with Krishna in the center. Then you have a chance for that absorption that you want. Absorption really means you want deep love with no limit. Krishna specializes in that. Once you understand that Krishna can perfectly reciprocate your love, then you'll have determination in Krishna consciousness. Up until that point, you'll be a little shaky. Sometimes you'll wonder, why am I practicing Krishna consciousness? Is it really as good like everyone says it is? Maybe I could be doing something else. Will I change my mind in 5 years? I wonder what my future will be in Krishna consciousness. But once you understand that Krishna can perfectly reciprocate your love, then you become firmly established in bhakti yoga. So this is what separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls, this realization. When you get that realization, that's up to you. This is the dividing point. The make it point. Now, if you every day nicely chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you will experience that Krishna is the limitless source of love. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest way for you to enter into experiencing God. Not religious belief, but experiencing God with your senses. Experiencing the Lord with your senses begins with your tongue. Yes, bhakti yoga begins with the tongue. Vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting food that's offered to the Lord. No belief, but tasting. When you say Hare Krishna with attention, you are tasting Krishna. Krishna is dancing on your tongue. When you're hearing the holy name, you're hearing Krishna. So many people say, if there is God, I want to see Him. But you have other senses. You have four other senses. Why are you stressing the eyes? How many of you have said like that, if there is God, I want to see Him? But why eyes? Why can't you say, and how many of you have said this, if there is God, I want to hear Him? Anyone said that? No. You have this artificial hang-up about your eyes. How many of you see the Rath procession now? Anyone see it? You don't see? Where? Where is it? You see it out there? Oh, you can see? Really? Huh? It's out there? Can you see it? You can hear it. So you're accepting the existence of the Rath procession by your hearing. You have no doubts it's there just by your ear. That shows you. Hearing is proof. Similarly, you can see Krishna through your ears. Why stress simply the eyes? I want to see God. I want to see God. You have so many other senses. You can taste Krishna with your tongue. How many of you had some prasad that's cooked and offered to Krishna with such love and devotion that when you tasted it, your consciousness just became saturated with the spiritual world? Yes? But there you are, you're tasting God. How many of you push that prasad away and say, no, 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 I want to see God? Anyone? No way! You had no doubts at that time. When you sit down before a feast of wonderful food offered to Krishna, you have no doubts. This is prasad, special food that has been offered to the Lord. So, we should understand that Krishna consciousness is for all our senses. That is real religion, not religious belief. You'll get a little benefit from religious belief, but not so much. We can see in the world today, religious belief is not enough to produce peace in the world. Everywhere you go in the world, people have different religious beliefs. It's not really doing that much of a difference. But if you introduce the experience of God with your senses, then you'll see a difference in this world. So Krishna consciousness is of the utmost necessity for the world because it is providing sensory experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is bhakti yoga. It's providing absorption for your senses. Just like when you're taking some very nice prasad. I was watching Tobil taking prasad this evening. He was completely fixed. He had no doubts. his consciousness was totally focused. Even I was somewhere else and walking with Radha Priya, and then we came back to where, you know, Tobil and others were taking prasad, and without even just another thought, he said, "Radha Priya, oh, bring me this prasad, bring me that." Just everything was just completely concentrated. That is absorption, right? When the different types of prasad were entering your mouth, you were totally concentrated, right? This is what we want in our personal relationships. Therefore, our personal relationships have to be Krishna conscious. Because when our relationships are connected to Krishna, they become eligible from the limitless. They become eligible for the limitless supply of energy coming from Krishna. Otherwise, you'll become tired of that person. Maybe some of you have experienced what it's like to become tired of someone. In fact, you get angry. The so-called love in the material world often turns to anger, right? Some of you had that experience? 1 minute you're telling someone, "Oh, you are my everything." 2 months later, "Get out of my life. I never want to see you again." I know in traditional Indian families you don't directly say like that. Or if you do, you don't tell others about it. But now these kind of things are coming even to India. When I speak in India, you know what the most popular subject is? Hundreds of people come to hear it. When I speak in Mumbai or Kolkata, the most popular subject is frustrated love. They're all intrigued. Like, what is this? The latest import from the West? Frustrated love. You got to catch up to the with this new thing, frustrated love. Last time I was speaking in Mumbai about frustrated love, this Asia-wide television system Rupert Murdoch owns? What is it called? Star TV? They came to film. They had heard about it. What is this? We have a Swami from New Zealand talking about frustrated love in India. That's what they brought, cameramen, journalists. So it was a big audience in the temple of about 400 people, Sunday program. So the journalists and the cameramen from Star TV or whatever, ZTV, they went through the whole temple audience asking, "Are you frustrated in love? Have you been frustrated in love?" So even in India, it's coming. People are no longer interested in relationships based on duty and commitment. They want the glory of the West, frustrated love. Divorce. Single parents. That's what they want. So whether we have a stable family culture or not, still the fact is we're looking for absorption. That's everyone's quest. Now, I tell them in India, the problem is when you forget the goal of your culture. Then it becomes very mechanical, and the young people want to give it up, because you can't explain to the young people what the goal is. The goal of having a stable Indian culture is to promote concentration on Krishna. But you've forgotten that. And so therefore you just have the trappings of the traditional system without the goal. And so your children, they're not interested. Why should we do like this? Just because your mother did it. Just because her mother did it. So what? Why do we have to do it? And you can't explain to them. The whole purpose of social stability in human affairs is to produce a proper situation for concentration upon Krishna. Now, our point today is that whether you come from a stable culture or not, you're looking for absorption, you're looking for your loving propensity to be unlimitedly fulfilled. What will sustain you in Krishna consciousness is when you get a glimpse of the reality that Krishna can endlessly satisfy you. Then you'll feel secure in bhakti. Up until that point, you're always going to be on the edge. Well, maybe, maybe not. Yes, no. But you will come to a point where you can move beyond that. When through your devotional service, especially based on chanting the holy name of Krishna, you're able to feel, I'm in touch with limitless love. That's what will give you the stability that you're longing for in Krishna consciousness. So in bhakti yoga, we are very honest. We don't hide from these things. We face these dynamics of the emotional self very clearly. Don't you know? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the best emotional person. And bhakti yoga is the best emotional expression. We don't hide from these things in Krishna consciousness. We take it full on. You're looking for emotional enthrallment, absorption. That's Krishna's department. So when we all work together to increase our Krishna consciousness, when we all help each other in Krishna consciousness, then you feel that love coming from Krishna, because Krishna's pleased when his devotees help each other to become Krishna conscious. So there is the mysticism of bhakti yoga. Alright, we'll do a few questions. Why is it seen that you are in illusion if you fall in love in Krishna consciousness? If you actually fall in love in Krishna consciousness, how can you be an illusion? Anyone who's properly practicing Krishna consciousness is always in love, because they see everything in relation to Krishna. Everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. My senses are the property of Krishna. Just think about that. To every day consider that my senses are the property of the master of the senses. That is love. But no, we don't think like that. What do we think? They're my senses. And I need things from my senses. I need absorption from my senses. Krishna consciousness means to understand my senses belong to Krishna. They're meant to be used for Krishna's pleasure. That is love in Krishna consciousness. So when someone says to you, what are you going to do with your senses for Krishna? What are they actually saying? They're actually saying, I love you. Think about it. So if anyone asks you, how are you going to use your senses for Krishna's pleasure? You know what they're really saying. They should be very happy. Otherwise, if someone just comes up to you and says, you know, I love you. I mean, what does that really mean? The next time someone says that to you, you can ask them, what's it going to do for me? Try it. I know you're not supposed to say that. Right? Is that what the movies tell you? When someone comes up to you and says, I love you, you're supposed to, ooh. As if you are the Supreme Personality, you know. And then they tell you that, and you have to say something appropriate. Oh, well, yeah. I've always cared for you, and the fact is, I can do so much for you. Right? I plan to just live my whole life just for you. Remember, some of you used to talk like that? It's called pillow talk. There's different types of illusory talk. there's pipe talk, you know. And when people smoke marijuana, you know, and hash, they see so many things, you know, philosophizing about the universe, you know. Yeah, I think that the meaning of life is this. Oh, really? What do you, well, I think that's called pipe talk. And then there's pillow talk. When the heads are resting on the pillow and they're discussing and talking, saying so many temporary things which seem so significant at the moment. So, if someone says to you, I love you, look at them straight in the eye and say, what's it gonna do for me? Is that being cruel? What do you think? Is it being cruel? No, you're being very practical. What you're saying is, you tiny little creature, what can you do for me? Can you stop my old age? Can you stop my diseases? Can you stop my death? Can you give me full knowledge? Can you give me full bliss? What can you do for me? No, don't worry about that. I love you. I can give you a big hug. What's that going to do for you? Except you wish the guy wore some cologne. But because we are so eager to be loved, we swallow all this. That you've had experience of it, I know. You just accept it all uncritically because, oh, someone loves me. Oh, wow. You don't, you know, analyze the deal, the fine print or anything. You just get, it's like good advertising. Good advertising just makes your head spin. You go buy the product, you don't even think about it. So people think love is like that. It just makes your head spin. You don't think about it too deeply. Someone says, you know, you are my everything, and you just accept it at face value. Maybe some of you remember the first time someone told you that, right? Didn't your head spin? Wow, I'm someone's everything. Someone's always thinking of me. Someone wants to be my devotee. Right? Wasn't it great? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manmanabhavalabhukto majajivam namaskaru. But we want that for ourselves. Yes, someone's always thinking of me, becoming my devotee, offering obeisances to me. Begging me. It makes you feel complete in life. Temporarily, right? Till the disappointment comes. Yeah. So, Krishna consciousness faces this need for love squarely. We're not hiding from it. Just like some people look and say, oh, the sannyasis, how can they love? No, the sannyasi is the biggest lover of the whole world. Unrestrained by family ties, the sannyasi can love everyone by giving everyone Krishna consciousness. So, the Krishna consciousness process fully recognizes loving exchanges between people. But these loving exchanges are for real. Helping someone to be Krishna conscious, that is real love. So therefore, just remember, when someone says to you, how are you using your senses for Krishna's pleasure? What are they really saying? I love you. When you understand this, then the illusion of material existence fades away. Telling you many secrets tonight. So the question once again was, if you fall in love in Krishna consciousness, why is it seen you are an illusion? Real love in Krishna consciousness, as I explained, means to help someone be Krishna conscious. So who will complain about that? Next question. Shouldn't there be some attraction between two people before they get married? Is this attraction wrong? Well, when you think about it, is it really that much of a complicated thing, the attraction between man and woman? I mean, it somehow there just seems to be a natural kind of occurrence, right? But what makes it complicated is that each one is looking for the perfection. That's what causes all the incompatibilities. But if both the man and the woman are looking for the perfection in Krishna, and they're seeing themselves as servants of Krishna, then what is the difficulty? It is a fact, though, that obviously people expect some kind of material compatibility. So, as best you can, you should see that that's fair. Still, we're not materialists. Material compatibility is not the most important factor. The most important factor are the spiritual, the Krishna conscious attributes of the relationship. Of course, I have to tell you that, I'm just telling you what I've observed. I somehow or other missed these experiences, you see. I took the easy way out. I wasn't man enough. I retired from combat at the age of 22. I was either too lazy or, just wasn't man enough. But I'm telling you what I've observed in my 30 years of traveling around the world. When you're not in a situation, it's very easy to see what's going on clearly because you're not subjectively absorbed in it. Just like when I was talking to these students from Pretoria, I could just straight away just ask them, so, how did you feel? What did you do? Just get right to the point. Normally, no one does like that. I mean, I just met some of them for five minutes, and I was asking, what did you do your first year at Technica? I never thought, I did this, I did that. Oh, really hellish, huh? Yeah, really hellish. So that ability comes from not being in the situation. You can just see it very clearly. And because the persons you're talking to, they see that, you're not into that kind of thing, they just feel free to just say what really happened. Yeah, I did this, I did that. I got burned out, exhausted. No more. But if they feel some motivation in your questioning, like, and so what did you do? And then they get on. Everything depends on your motive. So that's how I learn, by asking people all around the world. I started when I was 8 years old. When I was 8 years old, I used to ask couples, why are you in love? Really, I used to ask them that. Why are you together? And they would just smile at me, you'll find out. So I began this study when I was 8 years old. I remember, then when I was 12 years old, I remember having long discussions with my mother in the kitchen, trying to understand, what is this thing? Why? The man, the woman, they want to be together. Why? And she would spend hours trying to explain to me. And I kept pointing out to her, but it's going to be over soon. They can't stay together, even if they really like each other. But you don't understand. They love each other. Love? What is that? Oh, it's a feeling. Oh. I know. It's like when it's like a man and woman sitting back to back listening to good music. I said, really? That's what love is? She said, yes, that's what love is. I said, do you and Dad ever do that?
Oh, don't ask that.
That was a romantic conception, you know. All she could think of to answer my question was, love is when, you know, the man and woman are sitting back to back listening to nice music together. Well, do you and Father ever do that? No, I never see you guys do that. Does that mean you don't have love? This is a fascinating subject matter because it is of the utmost relevance to Krishna consciousness. The loving dynamics, the emotional drive for love and to get love, give love. Krishna is the expert at that. You'll really become solidly Krishna conscious when you can see that Bhagavad Gita is actually a love handbook spoken on a battlefield between two armies. Krishna's just packaged it in a way that provokes you. You think it's just war. Why does Arjuna have to fight? But actually the central purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to give instructions about love. But Krishna does it in a way that you will not take it cheaply. Because as long as you think love is on the bodily platform, you'll not understand the soul and the supreme soul. I was given to understand that one should meditate in silence. How then is it different to chanting a mantra out loud? The best meditation is to vibrate the holy name of Krishna, because then you are directly connecting with Krishna. Silence will calm you down, but you want more in life than just to be calm. You want dynamic love. That is the job of the Hare Krishna mantra. How many of you can just be content in life with silence, nothing more? Nothing more, just silence. You can't go on like that. After a while, you want someone to fill the silence. Yes? So, once again, you simply want the dynamic, loving experience. But that's Krishna's job. Don't torture another human being by turning them into a false Krishna. You've got to give me everything. You are my this, you are my that. Why are you going to do that to somebody? It's impossible for them to fulfill that. Impossible. But if that other person can help you remember Krishna, then that is real love. What do you feel about blood transfusion? When a person has been leading a vegetarian life, but it was necessary for this transfusion as it was life-saving. Please explain, as I feel that I have defeated the purpose of a vegetarian life. Thank you. No. You know, in this world, there's always going to be some problem. You have to make the best use of a bad bargain. The air you breathe is contaminated with something. The water you drink is contaminated. There's nothing pure in this material world. So if you're in a situation in which your life is endangered, and, you know, they give you some blood from who knows where, you're not the body anyway. You're pure spirit soul. You just do the necessary as best you can for maintaining the body. That's your duty, to maintain the body as best you can. But you're not the body. Whether it's your blood or another person's blood, it's not you. So you do the best you can. Krishna understands the situation. Krishna is not some kind of sadist. Oh, you took blood in your system from a person who's not a vegetarian, you can't go back to Godhead. It's got nothing to do with bhakti. We are grateful for your presence in South Africa. Please explain, do we need to give up our material jobs to be Krishna conscious? Of course not. Did Arjuna give up his job as a soldier in Bhagavad Gita? No. What did Krishna tell him? Fight and think of me. Mam anusmara yujam cha. Arjuna wanted to stop fighting. Krishna said, no, you do your duty for me. I'm also doing a job. I haven't given up a job. I've been doing the same job for 32 years, traveling and teaching Krishna consciousness. Just like you have to worry about paying for your house, paying for your car, I have to worry about airline schedules and this and that and tickets, and you know, that's life in this world. So everyone has their inconveniences they have to deal with, even sannyasis. How do you think we get here? We just float through the air? It's hard work traveling. So, everyone in Krishna consciousness should be engaged in serving Krishna. That is a job. Working for the best employer. You can work for Krishna living in the temple, but you can also work for Krishna living outside the temple. It's like one man was asking me outside there, I have opportunity to get highly promoted in my company. Should I do it? So first I said, make sure that you always have time for properly chanting the holy name. He said, no problem. I always make sure I have time for that. I said, okay, then take as much salary as they'll give you and use it to help spread Krishna consciousness. If you're going to work, then work. Get the money, but use it for Krishna. Use it to help contribute to a big festival like this. As long as you have some time necessary for cultivating your Krishna consciousness in terms of hearing and chanting about Krishna, then the rest of the time work. Get as much money as they'll give you. They should give you the most money because you are Krishna's devotee. You know how to use the money. How does one atone for our sins? The Shastra explains that devotional service is like a blazing fire that can consume more sins than you can commit. Think of a big fire that it can take unlimited quantities of wood. Similarly, devotional service, bhakti yoga, is like that. It takes unlimited quantities of sins, more than you can commit, consumes them all. There's your atonement. Just like some people ask, what about astrology? My astrology chart says tomorrow, a brick will fall on my head, so what should I do? What should you do? Srila Prabhupada explained that you go before the deities, clap three times, your whole chart changes. So in this way, we should understand that if we become Krishna conscious, our whole karmic chain is adjusted. That's why Krishna says, surrender to me, I'll alter your karma. Don't worry. we may still have to experience some minimal reactions from the past, but that's not actually karma. It's a special blend personally administered by Krishna so you don't forget how miserable the material world is. But it's actually not karma. It's something personal given to you by Krishna. Prabhupada explained, if a devotee cuts his finger, he or she should know that if they weren't practicing Krishna consciousness, actually they should have lost their head. But Krishna gave them a minimized reaction, just a cut finger. Lord Brahma explains this in the Brahma Sahita prayers. Karmani nidahati kinchu tamokti vaja govindamadi purushantam avachami. Lord Brahma explains that everyone in the material cosmos is bound by karma. But for the devotee gets minimized karma. You actually can't call it karma, because karma is given by the laws of nature, whereas for a devotee, he gets a special blend given by Krishna personally. Krishna's a loving father. He doesn't want you to forget how miserable the material world is. So, he gives you just a little bit of what you should have gotten, just to keep you remembering. Who's here? Oh, Parthasarathi. Where is he? He's here. He's coming. Okay. Now you have a splendid opportunity to hear from a devotee who has been serving Srila Prabhupada here, as you know, in South Africa since 1974. He's a very wise devotee with great sensitivity for how people can take to Krishna consciousness in a practical way for them. So, very honored to be able to introduce him to you. I had a nice association with him at Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. And never did I expect that I would be here with him. So, please listen very attentively, and you'll gain insight in how Krishna consciousness is a reality that can be accessed without so much complication. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.